Kiddushin Yerushalmi, corresponding to Kiddushin Bavli, Daf Yud Zayin. We begin in the Yerushalmi and Daf Zayin Amud Aleph at the top of the page. The Gemara asks a question, Minayin Afilu Chala. From where do we know that even if the slave became sick during the 6 years of work, he doesn't need to make up the time afterwards? Talmud Leimar, Uvashvius Yetzei L'Chavshi Chinam. The Pasuk says, and in the seventh year he shall leave for free without payment. Meaning as long as the seventh year arrives, he goes free even if he had not completed his full 6 years of servitude. Yochol Afilu Baruch, I might think that also applies even if he'd escaped during the time. And he wouldn't have to make up the time then as well. Talmud Leimar Sheish Shanim Yavoid, the Pasuk says, no, 6 years he shall work. Why did you include sickness and exclude a case of when he escaped? Answers the Gemara, now that we find that the Torah makes an inclusion and an exclusion, I'm going to include the case where he was still in the control of his master, I'm going to exclude the case of where he already escaped and he's no longer in his master's control. Alternatively, we can explain, we exclude when he escaped since he willfully didn't work, and we include when he was sick because he was not able to work. The Gemara asks the question, Rabbi Bun Bachia and Rav Hoshia Bar was asked by Rabbi Bun Bachia in the name of Rav Hoshia, Nicha Chala V'Chakach Baruch, She'inim Meshalim, Baruch V'Chakach Chala. We understand certainly if he was sick and then he escaped during the time he was sick, he wouldn't need to make up the time. But does he need to make up the time if he first escaped and then he later became sick? And the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Chia Ba'ada Nishma'ina Min Hador. Rav Chia Ba'ada answered, let's learn from the following Mishnah in Ksubos, HaMayredes Al Ba'ala, Koisin Loi Igeres Mered Al Ksubosa. If a woman rebels against her husband by refusing to have marital relations, they write for her a letter of rebellion, which is for her Ksuba, meaning that we reduce her Ksuba, her 200 zuz of her Ksuba, by 7 dinar each week that she's rebelling. And we have a brisa on that, Batani Rav Chia, Nida v'choila v'arusa v'shemeres yavam koisim lo yigeres meret al ksubasa. Even in the case of a nida, or if she's sick, or she's just betrothed, or she's a widow waiting to do yibum, all of these could possibly receive a letter of rebellion. The Gemara asks on that, man and kaimen, what's the case? Im b'shemalda alav v'hi nida hatorim ridasa alav. If she refused to have relations while she's a nida, it was really the Torah that prevented them from having relations because of her state of nida. Ella, Canaan and Kaiman, rather it must be that the case is Bashemalda Olav Achiloy Bas Nida. The case is where she rebelled against her husband before she became a Nida, Ubasl Nida, and then she became a Nida. Now she can't really rebel because the Torah anyway says they can't have relations. Vad Oimer Koisev, and we still find that Rav Chia brought in the Baisa that you can write a letter of rebellion, even though right now it's not her fault that she can't have relations, but when she left and she means when she rebelled, that was the cause that she couldn't have relations. Af hacha baruch v'chaka chala, same thing over here. If he fled and after he became sick while he was escaped, meshalem, he would have to pay and pay back the time that he didn't work. Do yochel emei malei, ilo haves gabai lo ef ashta. Because the master can say to him, if you would have been with me, it wouldn't have happened to you, you would not have become sick. Amar Rabbi Chinana, afilu al kadmisa asya hi chala v'chakach baruch meshalem. Even in the first case, when he became sick and then he escaped, he should still have to make up the time, because the master can say that had the slave remained with him, he would have healed much quicker. And we go back now to explain a wording of the Mishnah. We said that a slave acquires himself with years means having served out the 6 years of his slavery. Is Tanei Tanai, we have one brisa that teaches, Nimka b'pachos m'sheish v'ein nimka yoseh al sheish. He sold for less than 6 years, but not more than 6 years. V'is Tanei Tanai, and we have a brisa that teaches, Ein nimka lo b'pachos m'sheish v'lo yoseh al sheish. He's not sold for less nor more than 6 years. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, and Rabbi Yirmiyah comes to explain the reasoning of the first brisa. Taima d'hadein Tanai, pa'amim shehu nimka shtaim o shaloshonu lifnei ha'yovel, v'ha'yovel ba'u moitzi al kochoi. We will find a precedent for being sold for less than 6 years, because sometimes a slave could be sold for 2 or 3 years before yovel, and he leaves in yovel. So here also, he could be sold for less than 6 years. And the Mishnah also taught, uva yovel, that a slave goes free upon the arrival of yovel, dichsiv, as we learn in the Pasuk, uva yovel yetzei, And this is actually not in fact a pasuk, but it's a mixture of two different psukim. It says in Vayikra, in Perkhof Hei Pasuk Mem, and in Yovel, and in Pesek Pasuk Mem Aleph it says, he shall leave. So we combine them to say, he leaves in Yovel. And the Mishnah also taught of the Giron Kesev, that he leaves through the deduction of redemption money, Giron Kesev. Dichsiv, what's the source for that? The pasuk says, again in Vayikra, in Perk Chof Hei, in Psukim Nun Aleph and Nun Beis, im oid rabois bashonim, bimat nisha bashonim. If there are still many years, he has to pay the redemption accordingly. And if there are a few years left until Yovel, according to his years, he has to pay his redemption. Do we not know that if there are many, there are not few, and if there are few, there aren't many? Means why does the pasuk have to make any mention of many years and few years? Let the pasuk just say he pays according to the number of years that remain. And the Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Hila, Pa'amim Shashonim Rubois al Aschar, or Pa'amim Shashonim Mu'utois min Aschar. Sometimes the years are more than the payment, and sometimes the years are less than the payment. And how would that be? Minan Ata'ime, Ninka Mimana Mana Vishbiach Vahu Yafe Mimasayim Mosayim, Minayin Shayin Mechashiv Imoy El Mimana Mimana, Tamalayim Mekesev Miknasei. If he was sold for 600 zuz, which means 100 zuz per year of work, and the slaves increased in value and he became worth 200 zuz per year for his work, what's the source to say that he makes the calculation based on 100 zuz per year? And that's why the Pasuk says in Pasuk over there Nun Aleph, from the money of his purchase. It goes by the time when he was purchased. Nimka b'masayim v'hichzif v'omid almana. But what about a case if he was sold for 200, means he was sold for 1200 zuz, which is 200 zuz per year of work, and the slave decreased in value and became worth only 100 zuz per year? Minana ta'im sh'ena mechashiv imoy el mimana. From where do we know that you calculate him according to the lower amount, which is a mana? Tamud loyma kafishonov yoshes gulasei. The pasuk says there in pasuk num beis, according to his years, he shall repay his redemption. Ask the Gemara. Lamadnu benimkal goy kshu nigal yodel elyona. Minayin benimkal yisrael kshu nigal yodel elyona. And the question is, we learn from the requirement of a family member to redeem a slave sold to a goy. Over there we see that the Torah wishes it to make easy to redeem. From where is it learned, though, that if he is sold to a Jew, then when he is redeemed, that we have the upper hand, meaning that the price is reduced as much as possible? And the Gemara answers, Sachir, Sachir, Legzer Shava. We have a Gzer Shava, or the word Sachir, in two places. Ma Sachir Amor Lagoy, Kshu Nigal, Yodel Elyona. As Sachir Amor Yisrael, Kshu Nigal, Yodel Elyona. It says, when discussing selling to a Goy, the Pasuk says, in Vayikra Chofei, in Pasuk Nun Gimel, like a laborer, Sachir hired for the year. And when discussing selling to a Jew, the Pasuk says, over there in Pasuk Mem, like a laborer, Sachir, he shall be with you. So we learn here that just as for the first case of a sechir owned by a goy, he has the upper hand, so too for a sechir owned by a Jew. Rebbe Oymer, Ma tamalem yigalenu yigalenu gimel pa'amim. Why do we find that the word yigalenu appears three times in the two psukim that we have talking about selling to a goy? Once we find in pasuk memches, and twice we find in pasuk memtes the word yigalenu. Lo abois kol agulois chu kaseda hazeh. To teach that all cases of redemptions, whether you sold to a goy, he sold himself to a Jew, or the Beis Din sold him to a Jew, in all these cases, you have to follow this particular method. Ve'im lo yigal ba'ele. Now the pasuk about a person who was sold to a goy says, here it's pasuk nundalad, if he's not been redeemed in these ways, means one of these relatives redeeming him. Rabbi Yosi Aglili oimer ba'ele l'shachror uv'shar kol ha'adam l'shibud. Rabbi Yosi Aglili tells us, through these relatives he goes free, but through others, if others came to redeem him, he remains in servitude until Yovel to those that redeemed him. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, Ba'ele L'Shibud V'Shar Kol Ha'Adam L'Shichur. Rabbi Akiva says no. Through these he remains in servitude, and through others he will go free. Rabbi Abo B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan U'Shneim B'Mikra Echad Doshim. Rabbi Abo cited in the name of Yochanan, these two Tanaim, Rabbi Yosef Glin and Rabbi Akiva, both expounded it from the same pasuk. And again, the pasuk says, "V'im lo yigal ba'ele," and Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, "Rabbi Yosi Aglili darish v'im lo yigal ba'ele ele ba'cheirim m'shabed v'yotze." If he's not been redeemed in these ways, but through others redeeming him, he will leave, going straight into servitude. Whereas Rabbi Akiva darish v'im lo yigal ele ba'ele mashlim v'yotze. If he's only been redeemed in these ways, he has to complete his servitude. But if others would redeem him, then he would go free. And Divrei Chachamim, Rabbi Yossi b'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, Bein Zeh u'Bein Zeh l'Shichur. But Rabbi Chachamim's view, and this is explained by Rabbi Yossi in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, either way, whether redeemed by others or redeemed by family members, he always goes free. V'Tani Kein, and we have a Braisa that supports this as well. V'Siga Yadoi, Yad Atzmai, U'Matzah Kedei Gulasoi, and this pasuk here is talking about a person who sold himself into slavery because he was poor. It says, if his hand afforded, and it's a reference to his own hand, and he found enough for his redemption if others redeemed him. Rabbi Yaakov Ba'acha, quoting Rabbi Yochanan, said, when we say that he leaves into shibud, into servitude, it means he has to complete the remaining years of his 6-year period of work that he has not yet served, rather than starting a brand new 6-year period of avdus, of servitude. Ask the Gemara a question, Vatani, doesn't it say in the Baisa, Im Meshigar Loi, Harekanachui Umashabad Vayotze? After he's redeemed, he has to serve the same period as he would have been serving if he'd remained in the possession of the non-Jew. After that, he leaves, and this seems unlike Rabbi Yochanan, who seemed to say he only has to serve the 6 years as if he'd originally been sold to a Jew. Rabbi Abba Mari says, no, the answer is, the Baisa should not have said he serves and he leaves, but rather he completes and he leaves, because then we understand that means he only has to serve the remaining years he has not yet served. And the Baisa continues, Ratsa Kroyo shall Rishon Ligoyel, Goyel in Lahen, Ratsa Kroyo shall Sheni Ligoyel, En Goyel in Lahen. If relatives would redeem him from the first master, the Goy, then they could enslave him. But if others redeemed him from that Goy, and then his relatives came to redeem him from that person, they cannot enslave him. Rabbi Yassu b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, Asya, Kamanda Amma, Be'ele, Leshichu, Orasha, Kola Adam, Leshibud. Rabbi Yassu, quoting Rabbi Yochanan, says, this Braisa follows the opinion that we mentioned, that relatives have to redeem him to freedom, but others could redeem him into servitude. Shmuel bar Abba bar Koyim Rav Yassa. Shmuel bar Abba asked Rav Yassa the following question: Hacha ksev v'chishav, v'hacha ksev v'chishav, v'hacha at mechashev chadashim v'shanim v'yotze, v'hacha leis at mechashev chadashim v'shanim v'yotze. The pasuk here, when talking about a Jewish slave sold to a goy, it says v'chishav im koineu, and you shall calculate with the buyer. And over here, when talking about the person who was makdish his field to the Beis Hamikdash, it says v'chishav Loi HaKoyen, and the Koyen shall calculate. So the Gemara asks, why is it that over here, in the case of Gira and Kesef, of paying off the owner when a Jew was sold to a Goy, you calculate the months and the years in order that the man should go free, whereas in the case of a person who was makdish his field to the Beis HaMikdash, and if there's part of a year left until the Yovel, he has to pay as if it's a full year in order to get his field back. Amalei, so Rav Yassa answered him, Shni, here the answer is, Sheikshisa Torah Lesachir, Maze Mechashev Chadoshim V'yotze, Avze Mechashev Chadoshim V'shonim V'yotze. The Torah compared the slave to a case of a hired laborer. Just as a laborer calculates months and years and he leaves his job, so too in the case of a slave. The Gemara now continues to talk about a maidservant. A Jewish maidservant leaves when she brings physical signs of adulthood, which when she has 2 pubic hairs, she leaves. Now the Pasuk says, V'yotze Chinam, she will leave for free. Elu Yemei HaBagwas is a reference to when she becomes a Bogeres. Now, Bogeres is 6 months after she becomes a Nara, and Nara is usually at 12 years old when she brings 2 pubic hairs. Ein Kosev, the phrase says afterwards, Elu HaSimonim, that's a reference to leaving when she has these physical signs of adulthood. And the Gemara asks the question, V'yemei Ba'achas Mehen, Ilonem Ba'achas Mehen, Ayisi Oimer, Im B'Simonim, Hiyotze, Le'kol Shekein B'Yemoisa Beger. Why do we have to mention anything about reaching Bagwas and going free when she's already left at the age of Naarus, which was 6 months earlier? And the Gemara answers, Ilu kein hayisi oimer hein hein yemois ha-beger v'adin noisen. Hoyol v'hi yotze b'moshus ha'av v'yotze b'moshus ha'adoin. Ma moshus ha'av eina yotze ele b'beger af moshus ha'adoin lo teitze ele b'beger l'fum kein tzorach meima v'yotze chinam ele mea beger ein kesef elu ha-simonim. If only one phrase of the two would have been used, but one would assume that was referring to Bagwas, which is the older age. Why is that? Because she'd had left her father's control and enters into her master's control, so we can compare the two. Just as she leaves her father's control at Bagwas, the older age, so too, when she leaves her master's Rishus, she should leave at Bagwas. And therefore, the Torah had to write both phrases to show that she actually leaves at the younger age of Naarus, when she shows she has 2 pubic hairs. Oy chalef, or alternatively we can say, Rebbe Tanchuma b'shem Rebbe Chuna, ein kesev b'chol mokam shesh kesev la'av, ein kesev la'adam. Without payment teaches that when she leaves her master, he does not receive any money. When she leaves her father's control, though, she does receive money, and this teaches that only until she reaches Bagrus can her father receive the money for her marriage.